What's up, degenerates? Welcome to week 12, Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's celebrating it. And for those of you who aren't, well, sorry about that, but have some turkey anyways. I am joined this evening by my co-host, Mr. Ben Steffen. Diego is off on vacation with his family, going to a special park in Florida. So he will not be with us, but we do have his answers for the Chronicles. And we are joined by a special guest from across the pond, Maz. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I love this episode. It's extra international. Got three countries on the go right now today, so that feels really good. And very excited for this week. So American Thanksgiving tops Canadian Thanksgiving, that's for sure, because we already had ours like last month. But
that's because nobody in Canada is thankful for anything.
No, we did. We just thankful early. We get it out of the way. But no, I love it because I can sit at my desk and watch probably two football games while I'm at work. So pretty excited about that. Probably one of my favorite weeks of the year, and usually leads right into my birthday. So my birthday is on the 28th. So this weekend I get to do a little bit of something to celebrate that, and then. Yeah, so it should be a good week.
Birthday weeks for fucking guys should be outlawed. Maz, how you doing at 2 a.m.?
Hey, good guys. Yeah, happy early Thanksgiving. Canadian Thanksgiving is better than the UK Thanksgiving because it exists. We don't have anything.
Well, there is also that. I mean, you guys should have Thanksgiving for getting rid of
we
us.
Should. Yeah.
Should be apology day.
We're thankful for many things. But now it's good to hear, yeah. Enjoying the season. Great to be with you guys. I still say that Red Zone is the best thing on TV. Fucking brilliant. Can't get enough of it. But I was going to quickly say to you guys that I started the season persuading the wife to watch Hard Knocks with me. She agreed. I get the lounge TV, HD, you know, in front of the fire, enjoying that. And first or second Red Zone afterwards, sat there and she looks up from her iPad and she says, oh, how's my team getting on? I said, well, Panthers aren't playing until later, darling. She said, no, that's your team, my team, the Jets. Oof. So I've gone and bloody created a Jets fan. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting. Next time I'm not watching Hard Knocks.
Oh, that's so bad.
What have I done?
I'm so sorry for your bad luck, sir.
I am not thankful for that.
Oh, that's just gross.
I know. I know.
I'm not even going to say it. People have killed for less than that.
Certainly divorced.
Well, I wasn't going to go there. I mean, you know, I already hit Ben before the podcast. I wasn't going to ruin two lives in one fucking night. Come on.
I didn't realize it was his birthday coming up, so he's obviously getting a cat for his birthday, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy birthday, darling.
As long as I get to name it after a Panther player, I'll be fine.
Nice. Okay. Right, that's today's episode. Let's go through historic Panthers players. Who are we going to
call? It'll be Keekly or Keekly's a good cat name, I think, or it'll be Cam.
That's something a good name. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Happy with that.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. All right.
Gross. So, double Panther fan.
Now that we're done with Ben's cat, Gato's not here, so we have to talk about cats. We got a little bit of news today, some big injuries over the weekend last week, and we have a couple of trades to talk about, and then we'll get into the magical world of fantasy football recap. So start out with the news.
Breaking news.
Big news for Jets fans. Maz's wife is devastated. Zach Wilson has finally been benched. What does this mean for fantasy? Absolutely nothing, because the guy that they're going to start now is even worse. So I don't know what's going on with the Jets. If you're in an IDP league, the Jets players are great. If you're in regular fantasy, I don't even think you could start Breece Hall at this point because, Garrett Wilson last week has been up and down. He had a bad week last week. Breece has not been doing great recently. So, I don't know. Any interest in any of the fantasy assets right now, Ben, for the Jets?
Yeah, a little bit. Mainly just on the optimism that, like, last year when anybody not named Zach Wilson was playing quarterback, they seemed to have better games, like with Mike White in there. They seem to be better, so maybe this guy will be better. I don't know if it can get worse than when Zach Wilson's in there. They seem to not be able to move the ball at all. That's just more what I'm hoping for, is a change of pace might spark some of these guys. I would still personally start Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, just to see maybe first week or so what happens. But it's not a pretty situation. There's hopeful optimism that a change of scenery is going to help. So,
yeah. We can definitely talk about more of the players later on when we talk about that game against Miami. Moz, your first impressions of Mr. Tim Boyle?
I think what pisses me off is the Jets are terrible and they still have more wins than the Panthers. I won't make this a Panther-centric episode, but that really kills me. Breece Hall, I'd consider rolling him out, but with no confidence. I started to ever so slightly lean towards pushing Conklin up my bench, maybe. Too tight end league. Play Conklin, he was seeing a bit of action. And I think they mentioned Rucker playing a bit more. But I'm talking like two tight end leagues. Everyone else, no interest.
Right.
I know White was good, like Ben said, but this guy's not going to be.
I mean, he played two games. He started two games in 2021 for the Detroit Lions. He had 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions for 500 yards. Obviously, he's actually got better receivers in New York, better running game. So I don't know. We'll talk about that when we talk about that game. But I'm kind of optimistic, because why not? It can't be worse than what they've already got, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of worse than they've already got, Matt Canada was fired today, the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin finally had enough of his offense being less than mediocre. Their running backs coach is going to be the interim offensive coordinator, and their quarterbacks coach will actually be the play caller. So not sure how this is going to work out for those guys. At least the quarterbacks coach calling plays, he's got a rapport with Kenny Pickett. Your thoughts on this change and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, at least for the interim, Moz?
I mean, their offense is just meh, isn't it? It really is. So I can understand them giving him the boot. I mean, similar to what we were just saying, really, it's not going to get any worse, is it? It can only improve. The connection with Pickett should help. They've got the players there as well, haven't they? Both real life and fantasy players in Johnson and Pickens. Warren looks good. I know we'll probably talk about him later. So if you can just get something else going alongside him, whoever it is, Johnson, Pat Fryer moves back, that should help things. I think they were missing him. He played a part. Pickett liked throwing to him. But yeah, it can only get better, surely.
I would think so. They also have Fryer move back, and like you say, it can only get better. Ben?
Yeah, I think it's just, we'll either find out if it was Matt Canada or if it was Kenny Pickett, and we'll find that out pretty quickly, I think. So this might be Pickett's last stretch with them, or it might be the start of something good.
The alternative is Mitch Trubisky, so I think at least he's going to finish out the season.
No, I just mean like going forward next year, like they might move on depending on how the rest of the season goes. Because they're a team like that's pretty fucking good. Really good defense.
They are, and they're still in the playoff race.
Right, like, and like, they still win games, even with, like, they're what the Jets wish they were, I guess. So they're the better version of the Jets. Like, I know I was lobbying for Kirk Cousins to end up on the Jets. Like, if he ends up in the fucking Steelers, like, they'd be a really good team. So I could see them making a play in the offseason for a new quarterback if things don't go their way the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's definitely it's definitely something to watch. I think you're right that if Pickett doesn't work out, that they definitely could be looking at moving on, because they got a couple of years invested in him already. He's not getting any better. They have the talent. I believe Deontay Johnson's contract is up at the end of the year. So he's going to be a free agent that they're going to most likely lose. Pickens has stepped up and been pretty decent, and they still got Freiermuth. They got both running backs for another year. I think they got Warren for 2 years. So plenty of good assets on the offense. So hopefully this works out for them. So the Thursday games this week, there's three games. The first game for Thanksgiving's at 12:30. And as is customary, it is the Detroit Lions hosting the Green Bay Packers. This is on at 12:30 Eastern time on Fox. Ben, your thoughts about this game? Who's going to win? I'm assuming we're firing up all healthy fantasy players.
Yeah, from both sides, because I think the Lions are going to get up probably early and stay up for most of this game, and the Packers will be running from behind. probably don't play A.J. Dillon. He's not very good. But the wide receiver options, you could probably play Dobbs. You could probably play Watson. You're obviously going to start all your Lions, both running backs. I'm excited for this game. I think the Lions take it. But the Thanksgiving games always seem to be tight, especially divisional ones. Yeah, this will be the one I'm watching from my desk, so I think it's the one I'm looking most forward to. It'll be relatively uninterrupted as it's a slow season right now up here. So, yeah, looking forward to this game quite a bit.
All right. Moz?
Yeah, this is going to be a good game. I mean, the Lions are just – I just love watching the Lions. They're just so much fun. Weekend just gone. Goff Spalling. Suddenly he's throwing three interceptions from nowhere. But the game's not gone. You know, they're still in it. They've got those players. Like Ben said, you're firing up every single line that you've got. Even Williams got on the score sheet, finally. Only two targets, but he still got on the score sheet, so that's cool. Packers, yeah, I think we said before we came online, Jordan Love, up and down. You know, he went for over 300. Who knows what he does this time. The other one worth thinking about is Reed. So Reed actually got more rushing yards than A.J. Dillon, which I know is not actually that difficult, but he played a game both rushing and receiving wise. So I think he's worth, you know, pushing up maybe off your bench into a starting position. Christian Watson has upset me too many times this year. I know he got a touchdown, but it was what? Two targets, was it? Or something? 21 yards in that touchdown. He's so frustrating. I would be tempted to play Reed over him, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I don't really disagree. So when Watson's out there, he is the best receiver on the field for them.
100%. But
for whatever reason, Jordan Love has trouble getting him the ball until late in the game for garbage time. And then, you know, Watson usually ends up with a touchdown. So, you're looking for 10 points out of him and hoping for more, but you should at least get your 10 points. I like what Reed's been doing, and we'll talk about Aaron Jones and injuries, but I don't expect him to play. So I think Dillon gets more of the work, and they work some of the wide receivers into the running game like they have been as well. So I agree with you guys. You're firing up just about all of your Packers and Lions. It should be a pretty good game. I would expect there to be a pretty decent amount of points scored. I'm looking up the spread real quick right now.
46.5.
And did you notice?
Yeah, 46.5. So, I mean, you should be at least in the mid-20s on both sides or close to 30 on one side. So,
and the Packers just got James Robinson. So, you know, fly him up. Throw him in there. Why not? A.J. Dillon sucks.
They might as well sign Deion Jackson, because, you know, he's played for half the league already.
Yeah. Tony Jones is probably floating around. Get him in.
Now, Tony Jones still on the team, believe it or not.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
He hasn't been dropped yet, I think. So, all right. So next game, your mid-afternoon slate is going to be the Washington Commanders and Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. That's a 4:30 Eastern game, and that should be on CBS. This one I expect to also be a pretty good game, a pretty high-scoring game, because Washington's been putting up right around 30 points a game. Dallas has got a pretty good defense, but it's a division battle. And, you know, I can see 30 to 40 points going up on either side. So, Buzz, what do you think about this game? Do you have any reservations on any of the players, or are you firing up everybody in this one as well?
I mean, it's going to be another fun game, like you say. I mean, you're playing Pollard. He's finally scored, so I'm playing him. CD, obviously, you're playing. Toss up between Cooks and Gallup. Yes, maybe. I've got no other choices. I'm not massively confident. I know Cooks went off a couple of weeks ago, but I'm not massively confident there. B-Rob, always, is carrying this team. Benary's involved in receiving yards as well. Thomas, maybe. Logan Thomas, still a playable tight end, I reckon. So I'm throwing him in there. Dodson, again, he's feeling to me like Christian Watson, where if I play him, he doesn't even see a target. And if I don't, he either goes off or at least gets a touchdown. So personally, I'm not playing Dodson, but I can understand why people would. He's talented. And what, expect Sam Howell to get sacked another, what, billion times? Billion and a half times? Something fun like that.
A billion times with a couple of picks.
Yeah, exactly. Get your Vegas odds on that. A billion times.
Yeah. And still put up 30 some fantasy points for you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know.
Such fun.
Ben.
Yeah, I wish this was the late game, to be honest. It's the one I want to watch the most. And it'll be at the time that I have the most going on with work ending, picking up my kids. So it's probably the one I'm going to get to see the least of. But yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to run away with this game, but I think there's going to be a lot of points scored both ways. If Bryce Young got sacked 7 times last week by that Cowboys, it'd probably be pretty similar this week for Howell. But he's been awesome, finding the end zone, lots of yards, getting his rushing work in there too. I like most of the guys that you've been playing all year from both of these guys. So you can play both quarterbacks, play both Terry, play CD. You can run out Robinson, run out Pollard. Logan Thomas has been sneaky good for tight end streaming. So if you're in a pinch or something like that this week, go for that. Very excited for this game and hope we get what's advertised.
Yeah, I think we will. The over-under on this one's 48.5. So I think it's another, you know, higher scoring game. Hopefully Pollard gets another touchdown after last week, keeps that rolling. He's finally given you, you know, the fantasy points you're looking for later in the season when you actually really need them. I think, you know, both running games should be relatively decent with Robinson getting a lot of passing work. Like you said, the wide receivers all should be pretty good. Tight ends on both sides should be pretty good. So, unless your league is detrimental for sacks, you should have a pretty good offensive day, I think, between both of these teams. The third game on Thursday, the final game on Thursday, is the night game. That's the 49ers and Seahawks. It's in Seattle. This is at 8:20 on Thursday night. Over-under on this game is 43. I do expect this to be the lowest scoring game of the three. I'm probably taking the under even more so on this. I think it's a defensive battle. All three of these games on Thursday are division games. San Francisco's come out of the bye. Their defense looks solid. The Seahawks have not looked that great the last couple weeks. And Geno did suffer an injury last week that we'll talk about when we get to the injuries. It was minor. He did come back to the game. But on a short week, it may linger. Ben. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, these teams play each other tight generally, but I think with the beaten up, the Seahawks are a little bit beat up. Like we'll talk about some of the two of their major players are banged up. That's going to affect things, especially with the Niners rolling again. I think we definitely see the under, but I feel like it's going to be a pretty lopsided score. Like, I'm not expecting the Seahawks to score too many points. But the weapons for the Niners have been red hot lately. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a beating. But like Pete Carroll always finds a way to play the Niners really well. So I could be wrong. But, yeah, I see San Francisco running away with it. Kittle will probably have another good game. Ayuk's been great. CMC is CMC. So that's kind of what you're looking for. And then Debo, to be determined.
Right. Are you – so with Kenneth Walker out, which is another one we're going to talk about in the injuries, are you going to play Charbonnet this week against the 49ers?
Yeah. When are we dropping the show? After waivers tomorrow? Because he's a major claim in a bunch of my leagues. So, yeah.
Yeah, this won't be out till when I get up in the morning. I'll edit it. So
whatever fab I have left, I've been throwing at him. So
he's not available in any of my leagues.
These are just redraft leagues that are not super deep, but I've had some running back issues. So
No, I mean, I don't blame you for picking him up, but and you might have to play him. I get that.
Yep.
If you weren't forced into a corner to play him, are you playing him or are you going to sit for a week and then, because you're likely picking him up for a few weeks.
Yeah, you're going to grab him probably for, not for this game. Like you're not picking him up with the intent to play him this week unless Kenneth Walker was your running back and you need somebody. I'm probably going to keep starting my other options. I think that league is, I have Mixon and another guy I've been starting all year, but it's been kind of underwhelming. But I probably would still continue to roll those guys out and see how it goes. Charbonnet's looked good when he's had the chance, so it's encouraging. As long as they don't have to play the Niners every week, I think he'll be someone that you're going to wait and see what happens after this week, and then probably be playing him most of the rest of the season.
Right. And then what about Metcalf, Lockett, and JSN? They don't really have a tight end to speak of. So are you playing any of those three? None of them have really been lights out at all this season.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to catch passes. Somebody's got to get some work for this to be a decent game. And I think there will be some, but are you starting Metcalf?
Probably just DK. Yeah, I haven't been a fan of Tyler Lockett in like 8 years. It feels like it's been a long time since I've had him on any of my teams. I just avoid him. He's too volatile. His scores are all over the place. He always ends up with a decent fantasy finish, but it's always buoyed by really big weeks and then really bad weeks. So, DK seems
he's a boom bust guy for sure.
DK's floor seems to be a lot higher, so I feel like I'd go that way. JSN, other than in rebuilding dynasty leagues where he's my only guy, like I'm not bothering putting him in. He hasn't been very good this year. I don't know if that's him or Geno, or there's three good options technically at the wide receiver position. So until one of the other two moves away, his role might be a little limited. So I'm probably going to stay away from JSN this week. But, see how it goes.
All right. Moz, your thoughts on this game?
In agreement with Ben with the under in this game. Fun watching the Niners. As he said, their offense is just balling. Ayuk looks awesome. Kittle, he's going to go again. Purdy is every week. I just expect him not to be good. I mean, that feels harsh now to say that, but I expect him not to be good. And then I watch him and go, he's done it again. He just looks so good and composed and like he was always meant to be there. So he's another fun one to watch. Yeah, if it's Drew Locke, yuck. I forgot they had him. And then when I saw him warming up, it was like, oh no, this is not a good sign. Playing DK, playing Lockett. I quite like Tyler Lockett, so I'm playing him. Sharps I'm playing as well, just to throw it in there for you, Ben. Next week, Seattle, and Sharps has Dallas, so it doesn't get much easier for him. So if it is a 1 or 2 week rental with him, he's got two pretty tough Ds to go against. But I'm going to roll him out there. Unfortunately, I'm going to expect some DJ Dallas to be thrown in there and some Deion Jackson or whoever else they bring in. And it will annoy us and we'll scream at Pete Carroll. But Sharps has been looking pretty good. You know, he's been catching the ball well, running pretty well. And he's going to have a few weeks to really, really show what he can do. So right. I like him.
All right. I think I agree with you guys. You're firing up 49ers and you're firing up DK. Other than that, I think I'm looking for other options. Because I feel this is probably your traditional Thursday night game. And one team usually doesn't show up. And I kind of expect that to be Seattle this week.
So you're not playing Charbonnet, Steve?
I am. Unless I'm forced to play him, I'm not playing him. Kyren Williams is coming back from injury. And I've had him stashed. So most places I have other options. Because I do have a lot of Kenneth Walker, but I think I'm going to be okay. If I have Charbonnet, which I do in a couple spots, I'm going to have to play him. But other than that, I'm not. I really don't feel comfortable doing it against the 49ers. That being said, he could have a decent game, you know, with the passing game, and he's young, he's fresh, so they're not used to seeing him yet. He might break off a decent run or something like that, but it's just the odds are not in his favor. So we'll talk about the Friday game. There's also a game this week on Friday for Black Friday, and this is a 3 p.m. Eastern time game, and this will be on Prime. And this is the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets with their brand new used quarterback at home, going up against a team like Miami where, the Jets do have a good defense, but Miami should be able to get out to a comfortable lead and pretty much keep this game in hand. I mean, I'm probably firing up my Dolphins. You're always starting Tyreek Hill. I think I'm starting Waddle this week. I'm probably starting the tight end, Smythe, Mostert. I believe Achane is going to be out this week again, which we'll talk about in the injuries next. As far as Jets, I don't know that I'm playing Breece Hall unless I have to, and I'm definitely not playing Garrett Wilson this week unless I have to. This is a inexperienced guy. I mean, he's been in the league 5 years, but you're going up against some pretty good secondary players, and Miami's got a decent pass rush right now. I just don't think it looks good for the Jets. Ben?
Obviously you're playing your Dolphins players. This Dolphins team beats up on bad football teams, so they should run away with this game. No one can really cover Tyreek Hill in this league still. So, he'll get his, I don't know if I'd play Waddle. He's been kind of underwhelming, most of this season. So I'm not very like super excited to fire him up, but I mean, depends on your options. And then Jets. Yeah. Like I said, I think you're right. I probably wouldn't play Garrett Wilson this week, but I probably would still play Breece Hall because backup quarterbacks, guys who aren't going to go out in gunsling, tend to dump off to running backs quite a bit. And Breece has been getting a lot of his fantasy points in the receiving game. So if like Ramsey's locking down Garrett Wilson, then Breece is probably going to be open for some dump offs. And the Jets, to their own detriment, never really seem to give up on the running game. So he'll still get his work, and I don't know if he'll get a touchdown, but he might get you your 12 to 15 points that you probably would be looking for. I've been battling it because I have some options in a league with Breece Hall. Like, my team's pretty good at the running back position, so I think I'm still going to leave him in, though.
All right, Moss?
Yeah, not a huge amount different there, really, I don't think. Another good game for me because it's an 8 p.m. kickoff here. so I can watch it and I can play the whole, hey, it's your team, darling. Should we put the NFL one to the missus so I can get away with watching this one as well? I'm not going to play Breetle because he just feels like one of those players that you'll play him and he's not going to lay an egg, but you're not going to get a lot of points and then you're going to kick yourself going, why did I play Breetle? Why am I playing anyone from this offense? And if he goes off, you know, okay, cool. Just one of those you missed out. So for me personally, I'm not playing Breetle or any other Jet. And I am playing every Dolphin, I think. Yeah.
All right. That should wrap us up for the news. So we will jump into this week's menagerie of injuries.
The injury report.
So first off, we'll start with the games that we just kind of talked about. Kenneth Walker suffered an oblique strain in the game on Sunday. He's expected to at least miss this week and potentially another week. We'll have to see for week 13, but you should have him back for the fantasy playoffs. Geno Smith had a right arm contusion. He did go back in and finish the game. He's probably just going to be sore, but on a short week, you know, without his top running back, it might be tough sledding, especially against the 49ers this week. Aaron Jones suffered an MCL sprain. He's going to miss this week as well, and most likely at least one, maybe two more weeks. So he's another guy you're probably going to get back for the fantasy playoffs. Cooper Kupp suffered a right inversion ankle sprain. He's day-to-day. They're saying it's possible he does play this week. And I'm not sure if he does, but I think you're still fine with Puka. I think you're fine with, you know, if Kupp doesn't play, Atwell should be played. And like I said before, Kyren Williams should be coming back. Moz, any thoughts on Kupp if he may or may not play? Are you looking at other options for the Rams, or are you just moving on?
I'm feeling confident he's going to play. I think, I mean, he got stepped on, didn't he? I think, and it was sort of low ankle, and his low ankle sprain was earlier this year, wasn't it, as well? So it felt a bit sort of precautionary with him. I expect him to play. Obviously, you're playing him if he's healthy. As you said, Puka, yeah, sure. Atwell, not if I've got Puka, I'm playing him. I'm not playing Atwell. I'm looking elsewhere. But I expect Kupp to play.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, no. Fire up Kupp if he's out there. You're probably playing Puka either way, and then it'd be nice that they're getting their running back back. The Rams are—they're not a team I have a whole ton of fantasy stock in. Just kind of avoided the situation with the unknowns of Matt Stafford's arm and elbow and issues he had last year. So it's hard for me to say because I really don't have a lot of stock with these players. I don't think I've owned Cooper Kupp ever in fantasy football, which is weird. Fire him up. He seems to be a can't miss when he plays the entire game. So hopefully he's back.
Devin Achan, we aggravated the same knee injury that he just missed the last 4 weeks with. So Devin Achan re-aggravated the same knee injury that he just returned from IR on.
That was devastating. Fuck.
Oh, tell me about it. And the worst thing is I know better than the play guys that just come off injury, but you know, the doctors figured he needed 3 weeks. He took four. He looked good in practice. Like, you run him out there, he should have been all right. And I think the second or third run that he had, he re-aggravated it. So he's probably going to miss another couple of weeks, but he's another guy you should have back for the fantasy playoffs.
I blame Diego for me playing him because of Diego, I go now and look at the Twitter doctor's like prognosis or like re-injury probabilities and all this stuff for players. I'm like, oh yeah, he's going to be good to go.
Yeah,
I was so fucking mad.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was tough, man. That would really sucked.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill also suffered an injury to his wrist, but he did return the to the game. He should play this week.
He'll be fine.
And then the two big injuries, Joe Burrow suffered a season-ending wrist injury on Thursday Night Football. And Mark Andrews suffered a cracked fibula and the syndesmotic ligament injury. So he's out. They were saying today it's possible that he can return by the end of the season for the playoffs. So Baltimore definitely is going to be pushing for that first week bye.
Yeah.
So they give him enough time to come back. Isaiah Likely is a reasonable replacement for fantasy for him. There's not really a reasonable replacement for Joe Burrow. I think that obviously you may be kind of stuck depending on what you have for options. But Jake Browning, I don't know. He had an okay game when he came in for Burrow. 8-for-14 for 68 yards and a touchdown against Baltimore, which is a very, very tough defense. He also had a little bit of rushing work. Ben, are you interested at all in Browning? Are you interested at all in any of the Bengals' fantasy assets at this point? Chase, Higgins?
Yeah, not interested in Browning. Like, I'll probably stay away from him as far as quarterbacks go. Too many unknowns at this point in the season to throw an unknown in your lineup when you got playoffs on the line coming up. Like,
what about if you're in a super flex?
I don't know. I'd almost rather play one of my regular flex players. I've been doing that a lot. Instead of chasing quarterbacks and getting desperate in some leagues, I'll just play. Like, I might have a extra running back or an extra wide receiver that I haven't been able to get in the lineup. And if I can throw them in there instead, it might be better because there's like a lot of quarterbacks putting up single digits this year. So, like, why bother taking that risk if you can get double digits from a wide receiver? Chase not being featured by Browning was also kind of concerning. I think he had like one target or one catch after Burrow went down. That wasn't great, but they ran the ball a shit ton with Mixon. So I think Mixon's going to be a nice fantasy asset. They do have still a tough schedule, but they've had a tough schedule most of the season and he's been pretty good. yeah, we'll see. I'd like to see them come out and feature their best player with Ja'Marr Chase, but I don't know if they're going to do that. So this game probably will be pretty telling of what's going to happen the rest of the year with that Bengals offense.
Yeah, no, it definitely could be very telling because this should be it's another division matchup. It should be a pretty decent game, maybe. I mean, if they're going to have decent games going forward, so because I think this is one of the easier games that they're going to have.
Yeah,
Moz.
I think same as Ben in terms of. There has been many an example this year where QBs have let me down, a Tannehill, a Cousin, something like that. And same as Ben said, I've just not tried to chase. I'll just throw someone else in there. Then, I think I've played Darrell Henderson in there a couple of times recently. I'm not chasing Browning, definitely not. I'd love to be playing Chase, but it doesn't feel right at the moment. Mixon's probably the only one you're thinking to roll out. It goes back to what you were saying earlier with Breece Hall, Ben, of going, well, this new guy, nervous in the game, he's going to just try and dump it off to Mixon. Mixon's an experienced head. Let him do his thing. How much he can do against Pittsburgh, I don't know. But he's probably the only one I'm considering. But even then, it is just a consideration. It's not full-on confidence.
All right. So that'll wrap up the injuries. It just keeps getting worse.
One I was going to mention, Steve, I know it's not necessarily fantasy related, but seeing Joey Bosa go down on the first drive, I think he's headed to IR, was it?
Yeah.
No, I think they've said.
That was terrible.
That sucked. That did suck.
Yeah, I mean, for obviously not a fantasy asset if you're, you know, just in regular leagues, but he's a very dynamic player for the Chargers, and it's really going to hurt their defense. And you just hate to see a player of that caliber go down like that.
Yeah, that's the leader, isn't it? That's the leader of their D, and he's gone
down.
Yeah,
no, he definitely is.
Like that, he's in tears. Yeah, it's. I'm pleased it's not as bad as you first thought. It looked like shit. This is Achilles again or something.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't near as bad as what they thought. So that's a blessing, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, Moz, I know. You know, we talked about last week. A lot of trade deadlines were coming up. I know we made some trades in the Harry Potter leagues between Ben, myself, and Diego. What are some trades that you've made in the last couple of weeks that you're very happy about? You know, helped you in playoff pushes, or you know, something that you've made as far as like on a rebuilding team to just try and get some picks and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you guys mentioned one of the trades that I was really happy about last week, which is when I moved on from Chase and got my Amon Ra, my Nico Collins and Spears. So that I was quite happy about. Since then, I've done two main trades, really, and they're both on rebuilds. And again, I'm pretty happy with both of them. Probably the lesser one was I moved Joshua Dobbs and Rondale Moore. And I got back QJ in return.
Okay.
And again, that's for a rebuild that I'm doing. And I'd got Dobbs, as you can probably imagine, off of waivers early on in the season. And Rondale Moore was one of those guys. He just sits on your roster and you're like, oh, I can't cut him, but he's just not going to play. And I was quite surprised, actually. The guy did take it. He wanted Dobbs and he sort of was thinking about something else, and I threw Rondale in there and he took that. So I'm pleased. I know it's not working out for QJ yet, but rebuild wise I was happy to have him. And then the other one, sort of bigger one that I did, was I'm trying to think which league it was in. Was it FTF? And Depp Premier put out Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Wanted to obviously move away from him because I think he's 9-1, isn't he, or something, storming at the top. And so I went to him and it was a fairly quick and easy transaction of, do you want Kyler Murray? I'll sit on Joe Burrow because I am rebuilding. So I've got Joe Burrow sat there, Bryce Young. So we'll see how that plays out. But it probably looks like in that league as well, I'm going to have the 101. So hopefully I'm going to get myself into that position of going, so am I going to sit on Burrow and Young and then maybe trade that 101 away and get quite a nice haul for it? Or can I maybe use that 101 to get another top QB and have those three going into next season with a few other picks to play with? So, yeah, they were the two probably recent ones, both rebuilds. Super flex, obviously.
All right. Ben?
Yeah, no, I actually had one today. So contending team, 16-6, because we have against the median scoring. So I'm the 2 seed. I Superflex League, I had been running Goff and Levis as my quarterbacks because Carr's been hurt. I had Dalton and Tannehill. Those are my only other quarterbacks. The rest of my team is really, really solid. So I made a trade. I acquired Tua. I traded away Carr, 2024 first, which will be late, 2025 second, and JSN. I feel like I did pretty good packaging a bunch of nonsense together and got a top-end quarterback. So now I get to start Goff and Tua instead of playing Levis every week. And I didn't have to move Levis, which was nice too.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. So okay.
Yeah, any trade you're getting Tua back feels pretty good at the moment, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Like, as the 2 seed, I feel like it was a pretty good move. The guy I traded with absolutely is a lower seeded team. Tua doesn't really do anything for him. The picks might, and hopefully JSN hits for him. But I still have some young players. Like I still have, I got Tank.
I got Addison. I got Levis. I have Jameson Williams. I have Olave. I have London. So, like, my team is pretty good as far as young wide receivers. I didn't really need to hold on to JSN. And then I'm pretty stacked, like, stacked with older running backs. Like, I got CMC, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson, Sanders. Like, I'm okay at the running back position. Can be buoyed by CMC. So, quarterback was really the only spot I felt like this offseason or this season I needed to address. So, I think it'll give me a good chance to make a run.
And as you say, the key there is that you kept old Levis. That feels bigger than it originally sounds, isn't it?
Yeah, in Superflex, it definitely feels that
for
way,
sure. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's nice. I like that one.
All right. I don't have any exciting trades. the ones that I've been able to pull off haven't been super exciting. They've just been out of necessity. I sent Isaiah Likely for a second in one league. Nothing super special. Just
you filled your hole in the Harry Potter league, Ben, really quickly.
I fill my hole all the time.
What was it? you got Gus Edwards quickly.
Yeah.
Why did you have to do that again? Who got hurt?
Walker.
That's it.
Yeah, so we were talking about it real quick. I grabbed Gus Edwards and basically just swapped picks. And then I sent a little bit of magic over. But, I mean, Edwards is the running back 4 right now in those leagues. So
that's crazy.
I mean, I feel like I got a pretty decent deal. And like I said, I needed to replace Kenneth Walker because I have both him and Achane both went down yesterday or Sunday. So I needed another running back that's somewhat reliable. So I have, now I have Edwards, Najee, James Cook to go along with Waddle, Olave, and Josh Downs. And those are just the guys on my bench. So I'm in pretty decent shape at this point as far as depth. So now I just need to figure out who I'm going to drop and go from there. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty decent deal. I didn't have to haggle about it at all. And I was looking at a couple other options. I was looking at Charbonnet there too, but I'd rather go with, a team that's definitely pushing the run, who's got a good run game. And Edwards is at least a 10-pointer just about every week. So I figure I can leave him in the flex and at least, forget about it for a couple of weeks until I get Walker back.
And not only were you talking about filling in your hole, Steve, you also made possibly the gayest statement of, and I sent over a little bit of magic. I mean what the fuck?
It was necessary. It's to get.
Dude, I'm not privy to these leagues, but it just sounded really gay.
Well, yeah. That's your loss, sir. You've been true. Invited, but you choose true. Not to be a cool kid.
I don't want none of your magic coming my way.
That's not what you said when you were drunk.
Very true. Very true. It's 3 a.m. I've sobered up, okay?
Oh, okay.
Mistakes were made.
All right. So that'll wrap up the little trade segment. We'll jump into the magical world of fantasy football chronicles recaps. So this is Moz's favorite segment. I think he might be the only person in England that does not appreciate Harry Potter.
It's unbelievable, honestly.
I don't know why we're friends. I really don't. But at least his wife does.
Because
like
you
that
needed
part.
That one
so
cool,
that.
Cool friend. She yeah. does. She does. My father does. My nieces do. My stepdaughter does. They've all been to Harry Potter World. I hear about it all the time. They drag me to the cinema.
So
it's not
really, Moz is the only one in his family without taste.
At this point, he's just pretending just to keep up the facade. I think it's he definitely likes it. He's just going to pretend not to.
Right. Well, the wife dragged me along to the Baby Dumbledore film. And the way she got me there was, this is the first one. There's a Asian actress in it who I really like. Funnily enough, I like Asian ladies. shout out to the wife. So obviously I'm pleased about that because she's a very pretty lady. What she didn't tell me is halfway through the film, she turns into a snake and I'm petrified of snakes. So that wasn't a great experience. But I can't go running out of the cinema like a little baby, can I? I've got to try and man up.
That's amazing. That's so funny. Moz's Hollywood crush turned into a sports nightmare.
That's absolutely hilarious. I have another friend who's from England, and he's also terrified of snakes. So to hear you say it, it just reminds me of him quite a bit. I send him he's a big golfer. I send him over reels and TikToks and stuff of snakes all the time, and it drives him crazy. So.
Oh, man, I'd cry. I'd break down and cry.
That's awesome.
That's too funny.
That's funny. All right, so last week, week 11, Ben, you had 4 right. I had 2 right. Diego had 2 right. So you're at 29 for the season. I'm at 32, and Diego's at 25. So the Magic 8-Ball didn't help him that much last week.
No. He should have stuck to following.
He had fun, though.
He should have stuck with the tried and true proven to what Ben does.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. So tight ends with at least fantasy points, at least 20 fantasy points over under 1.5. There were no tight ends that got over 20 points last week.
None? I thought Kittle?
No. No, with half
his
PPR.
Touchdown? Oh, half.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So. Nice.
Smart by
Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery both finished the top 12 running backs. That one was true. Gibbs was the 6th, and Montgomery was the RB10.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, more or less fantasy points than Deebo Samuel. This was more.
Thank God for touchdowns.
Ben, you got this. Yeah, I know, right? you got this one right, and you got the first one right with the under. The next one, Joshua Dobbs, over under 205.5 passing yards. That was over. I think he had 230 or right around there.
221.
221, yeah. So we all three got that one correct. And total number of touchdown passes, Kansas City versus Philadelphia, over under was 4.5. That was under. We all got that right. They had 2 passing touchdowns.
I'm still saying that's the one I talked you out of, so I'm happy.
You didn't, but that's okay. Special item last week was the Marauders map. Pick a quarterback to have more passing yards than last week. And they must have played at least 50% of the snaps in the prior week. So I took Josh Allen. He had just about 100 yards more than he had in week 10. Diego begrudgingly took Russell Wilson, who had roughly 80 yards more than what he had the previous week. And Ben, you took Trevor Lawrence, who had, I want to say, just over 100 yards more than he had the previous week. So we all three got the coins on that one. So that will bring us into week 12. And we do actually have Diego's picks for this while he's, you know, in the visiting the magical world of Harry Potter with his kids. First question, road teams to win on Thanksgiving. Over and under of 1.5. I'm going to take the under on this. Just given the matchups, I believe San Francisco is probably the only road team that's going to win. Diego took the over. And Ben, what did you take?
I took the under. I don't see the Packers winning. I don't see the Commanders winning. So the only road team I have winning this week would be the Niners. That's less than 1.5, so I will take the under. It's just math.
Easy math.
Yeah, it's just math.
And Moz.
Yeah. I mean, that just feels like a under all over, doesn't it? It is the Niners. The other two, they're not. I love the balls on Diego picking the over there, though. Love that. Yeah. I kind of want him to win that just for being that ballsy. But no, for me, it's the under.
He did make sure to have a disclaimer. The magic eight ball did not travel, so this might be his week. You know, we rushed him on his picks.
I feel like he just let his children pick that one for him.
Hey, I mean, whatever works, man. He's got to try something different, all right?
Yeah.
all right, second question is Tyreek Hill, over under 80.5 receiving yards. I'm definitely taking the over on this. Tyreek's, I don't think he's been under 80 yards at all this year, has he?
Not that I can remember. He seems to always be getting those like 30. Like, he starts the game off, it feels like, with a 30-yard catch like immediately. And so to get to any of these over-unders is very quick for him. So, yeah. Like, they just come really fast. Like, bam, 45 yards. Okay, cool. Thanks. Like,
yes. So I'm looking. So he's got three games this year under 80 yards against New England, against Buffalo, and then before the bye against Kansas City. So I'm taking the over. Diego's taking the over. Ben?
Yeah, over.
Maz?
I went back and forth on this one, and I'm actually going to go under because the Jets are a top five passing D. I know they'll be on the field a lot, but I think Tyreek's going to come in just under it. And I also think that Miami might go up quick and he then perhaps won't play as much, especially if there's any sort of lingering issues with his wrist injury. They might just go, hey, look, we're up and we'll just drop him in and out here and there. He might even just come in just as a decoy, you know, if they don't want to push him too much, if the injury lingers. So I'm going to go on that theory and say under.
All right.
Now who's ballsy, Diego?
I didn't realize it was a comparison. Third question. Jalen Warren, at least 75 rushing yards. I'm taking the true on this one. Diego is taking the false. Ben?
I'll take true. I've liked his workload. With the Bengals being kind of shorthanded, I feel like the Steelers are going to run the ball because I feel like they're going to be up potentially in this game with their defense carrying them. New OC could be coming in, and running the ball is a good way to not get exposed in play calling.
Well, he is also the running back's coach.
Yeah. And yeah, I think Warren just continues to take over more and more of that job from Najee. So yeah, I like him for more than 75.
He's been more efficient with the touches for sure. Najee's still getting work closer to the goal line, which I kind of expect. But I think your yardage between the 20s is going to be Warren, and then your touchdowns is probably going to be Najee. Maz?
Yeah, going over. He's definitely getting that 75. I think the last three games he's been over that, and he's looked really good. He's coming in hot. He looks so much better. I had so many shares of him this year and really starting to see the benefits of that now, which is great. I think the Bengals D is like, is it 31st in rushing? Averaging like 138. So I don't see an issue with Warren getting that at all. I'd be more interested in a question of like, how many butts is Najee going to run into over or under 20 in a game? I mean, yeah, it's Warren's getting it.
All right. And the fourth question, Tank Dell finishes as a top 12 wide receiver. I went back and forth on this one. This is really the only one that I did kind of go back and forth on. But I mean, Tank Dell's been coming on. Stroud likes him, and I think they're going to be able to put up points again this game. So I took the true. Diego also took the true. Ben?
So I went false because, yes, like they have
a good connection between Stroud and Tank. But Nico also is a big feature of that offense when he's at full speed. Schultz is also getting a lot of looks. They've been mixing Singletary in there quite a bit too. Tank's going to get his. It's just I don't think he strings them together, like top performances together back-to-back. I don't know if he's done it yet. So I'm going to say false.
All right, Moz?
Again, I went back and forth on this one. All the points that Ben said, I'm thinking about Collins, I'm thinking about Schultz. I'm not saying Tank's not going to have a good game, but Stroud is gonna share it around. And sometimes it is Tank, isn't it? And then Nico has his game, and Schultz has taken a few bits and pieces in there. I'm going to go with yes, though, because I think some of the bigger names, wide receiver-wise, are stuttering along and not performing to the highest standard. And Tank is performing extremely well. And the likes of, like, you know, Diggs, Keenan Allen, DK, Adams, I think, they're all playing top Ds this week as well. So I'm going to say Tank is going to sneak in. But I am around that he's going to finish between, like, 10 and 15, 16. But I'm going to say, yeah, he's going to make the top 12.
All right. And the last question, Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert combined for at least 500 passing yards and 50 rushing yards. I mean, the 50 rushing yards, Lamar should be able to handle that no problem. It's the 500 passing yards between the two that is kind of the hang up for me. I'm taking the under here. I just think that the Ravens defense keeps the Chargers to, you know, minimal yardage. And, I mean, they got the number 9 ranked pass rush. They've got really good coverage guys. I think they're ranked behind the Jets as far as their secondary. Overall defense, they're, you know, a top 5 overall defense. And the Chargers struggle a lot with their offense. Like, from week to week, they're there, then they're not. And, you know, against a good team and a team that's, you know, really needs to keep winning to get that bye, I don't think they let the Chargers do a whole lot. So I am taking the under. Diego's also taking the under. Ben?
I'm just splitting it up by player. 250, 250. Herbert to get 250 seems like a guarantee. Lamar generally gets close to that number. The rushing yards, I don't think, is going to be hard to get at all. So even if Lamar comes up short on his 250, Herbert might go over. I'm going to trust good players to be good players and take the over.
Okay, Moz?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going the over as well. I've done similar to Ben in sort of the breakdown of going, okay, who's going to get what with what. Rushing nice and easy. I mean, Lamar's gone over 40, like 6 or 7 times, and Herbert's gone over 10, 7 times. So that's my 50 there, if that is kind of the split. You know, the Ravens D, yeah, really, really good. Top 3, fantastic. Chargers D, not so good, right down near the bottom. So I'm thinking, yeah, if one of the, you know, 250 each, you know, maybe Lamar can throw in a cheeky 300 and Herbert actually takes the 200 to get them to that point. You can easily see that, you know, Flowers could bust off one or two big runs to help him with that. So I'm going to go the over.
All right. I would rather this question was like, you know, total drops between Ravens and Chargers at 10, you know, over under of 10. I think I'd take the over. Nobody can catch on either team half the time. All right. So the last thing is the special fireworks. Special item this week is the fireworks. So pick any quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end to finish top 6 at their position. I was cheap. Because I filled the form out first.
Yep.
I took Travis Kelce, which means he's probably going to finish as the tight end 7 this week, but it is what it is. Diego went with Amon-Ra St. Brown in the early game, so You'll have to wait all week to find out how that turns out. Ben, who'd you go with?
Yeah, so I went with another early game. I took CeeDee Lamb. I think they're going to eat up that Commander defense. He'll probably get in the end zone once, maybe twice. He is a feature of that team, so he'll continue to be a top dog. He'll finish in the top six.
All right. And Moz, who are you looking at?
I was looking at CeeDee, but I'm a British gentleman, so I'm going to let Ben have that one. That's fine. That's all good. But actually, my kind of second choice there anyway plays nicely into it. I'm taking Dak, because I think if CD's balling and he's all over that Commander's D, who's throwing him the ball, Dak is. He's looking really, really good these past, well, I'm not even say few weeks, at least half a dozen, isn't it? Getting mass numbers. Yards wise, the touchdowns are coming. I know it was a bit down against the Panthers, but that's because we're amazing. So, but it's early, Steve. I'm tired. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. But no, I'm confident Dak's taking that.
All right. So that will wrap up the magical world of Fantasy Football Chronicles, and that will wrap up the show. Moz, thank you very much for filling in while Diego is on hiatus.
Pleasure as always.
Always happy to have you on the show. You bring a certain element of class that we otherwise lack. I think it's just the accent.
Happy to help. But
any parting words for the listeners?
Just the one thing I learned for you, Steve, Silencio.
Ooh, look at you go.
Hey, she did tell me another one, but I thought she was saying asparagus, so I won't try that one. So we'll just stick with Silencio.
She was saying asparagus.
Asking me what I wanted for dinner. But no, yeah, pleasure as always. Great being on with you both. I'm sure I'll catch Diego at some point as well and do some chatter with him. But happy Thanksgiving to all the Americans. Enjoy the games. And yeah, speak to you guys soon.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, no, Moz, thanks for joining us. I know it's late over there. Love having another Panther fan over here to share my grief with.
There's only two of them in our fantasy universe.
That's so. Okay. We found each other. We're good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we both love cats now, so get it.
Yeah.
Sure. Cat teams will go. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, anybody out there looking to get any last-minute trades in, some advice, you can find me on Sleeper at Rockstar12, 2 K's, 2 R's. Thank you, Americans. I'm thankful for your Thanksgiving. It's going to be a very nice day sitting at my desk watching some football. Yeah, good luck, everybody, the rest of the way, and have a great night.
So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Moz, thank you for being on. There may be another opportunity next week if you're interested, while Ben is doing his birthday week like a bitch.
I'll be celebrating with Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah,
we'll be partying it up.
You guys will be out walking your cats.
That's right. No pants, huh?
No pants, walking cats. Oh, man. So you can find me on Sleeper at Solinator. You can find me on X at the FF Degenerate. Scott Fishbowl playoffs start this week too. So if you made it into those, congratulations. I did. I'm ranked in the high 500s. So hopefully I can at least get into, you know, next week or the week after, because I do have a pretty good team. So if you want to brag about your Scott Fishbowl team, you can send us an email to dddffpod@gmail.com. You can visit our website, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com. You can find us on Facebook. Search for Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. We want to thank you all for listening. Good luck this week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving with family. Enjoy the football. Don't forget to put your Thursday players into the regular lineup spots so that you have some options later in the week depending on injuries. Don't forget about the Friday afternoon game. And good luck this week and good night.